What do you guys think about the movie?
It was awesome.
I mean, I'll be honest, the acting in the movie wasn't tremendous or, you know, Academy Award. But it was a good movie. It had some great points.
Come on, bro.
You know, it's cool because the title of my lesson is Facing the Giant.
Come on, bro.
Obviously got it from the movie, you know. But a few thousand years ago, there was a guy named Goliath that lived. I'd say he was a giant. He was about 9 feet tall. Covered in armor from head to toe.
Preach a joke.
The armor on his back weighed 125 pounds.
Wow.
He carried a javelin. On the tip of his javelin was the head of the spear, weighed 15 pounds by itself. Imagine being in war with this guy. He's just running through. Whoo, whoo. They call him a champion among the Philistines. He was the hero of the Philistine army.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Wow. This guy was a beast. He was a giant. You know, and one day, Israelites are on one hill, Philistines are on another, and this guy steps out. He's ready to fight a battle. He yells out to the Israelites, taunting them, asking for someone to come fight him in battle.
Yep.
And what do? They're not like, oh, we got this guy, yeah, he's not that bad, you know, we can handle him. No. They were dismayed and terrified.
Yes, yes.
Saul and all the rest. Saul was the king of the Israelites, and all his people were scared of this guy.
Yeah, go on.
He hadn't even started fighting them yet. All he did was step out of the crowd, stand up to the battle lines, and face the rest of the Israelites. He hadn't started taking out his sword. He didn't start swinging it. He didn't go after anybody. He's still there, and he's talking. You know, and these people, the Israelites, the soldiers, they weren't necessarily scared of the rest of the Philistine army. They were scared of this one man. I want you guys to ask yourself, are you scared of one man? Are you scared of men and what they think? You know, in Deuteronomy 6, if you want to learn more about it, we learn that to fear God means to obey His commands.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? And there's another scripture, Proverbs 29:25, talks about fear of men will prove to be a snare for whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. We know that the Israelites didn't fear God. Maybe they had a mild fear of Him. They didn't fear God with their whole heart.
Mm.
Or else they would have felt safe.
Yeah.
They would have felt confident in who God had chosen them to be.
Come on.
The title of my first point is straight from the movie, If You Accept Defeat, Then That's What You'll Get.
Wow.
You know, when Goliath stepped up and the Israelites were standing there, immediately, what did they do? They just accepted defeat.
Yeah.
There's no way we can beat this guy.
Yep.
He's going to take us out. And it's funny because after 40 days, Goliath, morning and night, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath would come up to the battle lines, say the same thing, and it says all the Israelites ran. Now this is 40 days into it. So Goliath had been coming to the lines about 80 times, and they're still scared to death of this guy. You know, you would think maybe, okay, 5, 6, 7, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 times, and they're still scared to death of this guy. They're still, as soon as they see him, oh, time to go. You know, they're running away. They're scared to death of this guy.
Come on.
What are some of your struggles that when you face them face to face, you start
coming?
Come on,
bro.
They don't even start attacking you yet, but you see it off in the distance. Hmm. You get scared by it.
Yep.
You get tempted to start running.
Yep, that's right.
Whether it's insecurity,
yep.
Whether it's your pride,
yep. Talking
impurity.
About
it. You guys know what I'm talking about when it comes to impurity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on.
Timidity. There's a lot of places in our lives where we can be scared of to face, or we'll just want to run away. You know, I want to really challenge you guys to really face your fears.
Come on.
Your giants. But if these giants are in your life, and immediately you just feel scared, and you feel like you want to run away, you're never going to defeat them. Never.
Yep, that's right.
Never. If nobody ever stepped up to face Goliath, they would have never... Look over in 1 Samuel 17. If nobody ever stepped up to Goliath, he would have always been there.
Come on, bro.
In 1 Samuel chapter 17...
Come on, bro.
We're going to read verse 25.
Bring it, bro.
Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who killed this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel?" David had been sent from his shepherding to come see his brothers. So he just gets there and removes this disgrace from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who killed him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man, they burned with anger and asked him, "Why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down to watch the battle." "But what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" Then he turned away. The Bible says, "Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the man answered him as before." What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul went for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy.
Wow.
And he has been fighting from his youth."
Wow.
But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Wow. When it turned to me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine."
Come on.
Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You know, when we face our giants, you know, what it really comes down to is how deep are your convictions. How deep are your convictions when it comes to your giants?
Good question.
You know, your giants being your struggles in your life.
Yeah.
You know, when there's impurity in your life, how deep is your conviction to not just be able to fear it a little bit and then, I'll just give in. You know, I'll just take that look.
Come on, bro, convict us.
You know? But how deeply convicted are you by yourself, you know, when you see your own sin, that it builds deep convictions within you to call out others in their sin.
Come on.
You know, if you can't call others out in the same sin that you struggle with, it's probably because you don't have a deep conviction in it yet.
Yep, that's right.
You know, I mean, the Israelites here, they were scared out of their, they were scared out of their minds, you know, but David, he comes, he says he was a young boy. Saul had no faith in this young boy, David.
Mm.
You know, David says, "But I've killed bears, I've killed lions." And it took all that for Saul to finally say, "All right, just go, and the Lord be with you." You know, then finally David gets enough courage. You know, the whole time he knew that God would be right by his side, but the rest of the Israelites, they didn't see that.
Yeah,
they were still scared out of their minds.
Yeah.
You know, they're still running back. But this one little boy steps out in front of all the rest of the Israelites. He steps out to the battle lines ready to fight this giant. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to ask you guys, where is your faith? If you're trying to be like Jesus, then you can't let these struggles get you down. You know, you can't set limitations on yourself. What do I mean by setting limitations on yourself? Well, when you see a struggle in your life, you already accept defeat because you know you can't get over it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've fallen in the past and into some sin, and you know that if this comes back in your life, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
When we accept defeat in our lives, that's exactly what's going to happen to us. We're going to get defeated.
That's right.
You know, if this football team went the rest of the season, they started off 0-3. If they went the rest of the season just believing that they would be losing to everybody, that they just get stomped on, then that's exactly what would have happened. They would have just kept losing. But it took a leader to really step out.
Yeah, yeah.
Pull everyone together and get God involved in the situation. He opened up the Bible. He got them into prayer. He helped people get a relationship with God. And before you knew it, the whole team, they're unified.
Yep.
They're ready to go. They're out on the football team, out in the football field, killing other teams. You know, they make it to the playoffs, and before you know it, they're winning the whole state championship.
Hey, come on.
Who would have ever thought that they would have won a state championship? They didn't even believe in themselves to win a state championship.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I mean, we're watching the movie, we're like, these guys are bummed.
Yeah,
tell me the whole first half of the movie, you're not like laughing and sticking at how bad they were. Dropping passes, dropping kickoffs, you know, fumbling the ball. After that one game, they had like 6 interceptions, 4 fumbles, and they got killed that game too.
Yeah.
We're watching that, we're like, man, there's no way they're going to beat this team called the Giants.
Come on, Joe.
This team's won three years in a row. You know, this guy Goliath. He was undefeated because he's still alive.
Yeah.
You know, we got undefeated Giants in our lives, guys.
We got
to take out.
Talk about that.
We got to take out. We got to have confidence that we can take them out. And the only way we're going to take them out is when we understand that God is right by our side.
Amen.
You know, maybe one of your fears is, I don't know if I'm ready to become a Christian yet. But I don't know. I just want to experience the world a little more. You know, I had that heart. When I was 13 years old, I started studying the Bible, and I thought, man, this isn't for me. I got to go out. I want to experience the world a little more. You know, it took me a few years. God really humbled me out for me to really get back into it.
Yeah, you can do that.
That's right.
But when I went back into the world, I expected, oh, I'll just stay there for a while. You know, I won't get right with God till I die. You know, I have years. But once I really started learning about hell and learning about the different things out in the world that I didn't want to be a part of, I got this fear of God in me.
Come on, dude.
You know, I was like, man, I'm afraid of God. So I decided I got to start obeying His commands. If I'm not obeying His commands, I'm not really fearing Him. You know, that's Deuteronomy 6, if you guys really want to study it out. God, if you want to see change in your life, you got to get right with God.
Yeah.
Amen.
You got to get right with God, or else you're not going to see any change in your life.
That's right.
Nevertheless, help anybody else change their lives.
Yeah.
I've talked to people before, and, you know, I try to help them get a relationship with God. And it's funny, a lot of times they just bring up their friends. Oh, yeah, I don't really need that. I got some friends, though. I wish you could meet them. You could really help them out. But really, in their lives, they're hanging out with these people. Their lives look the same as theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm looking at them. Like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you see the Word of God, and you don't even want to hear it. You're so prideful. You know, and maybe that's some of our struggles as well. Maybe we're just extremely prideful. We're so hard-headed that no matter what anybody ever says to us, we just know we're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys accept advice? I want to ask you guys that. If someone comes to you and corrects you on something, maybe even rebukes you on something, can you handle it?
Wow.
Come on. Can you handle it? If there's sin in your life and someone comes up to you and they call you out, you know, they correct you or even rebuke you, can you handle it emotionally, spiritually, mentally? And you handle, because we got to be prepared for it. He who hates correction is stupid.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Straight Bible.
That's what the Bible says. The Bible uses the word stupid.
Stupid.
Okay? But we got to make sure that we, not only can we get corrected by the Bible, but we can get corrected by other people in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us have been going to the midweek, and we learned that when discipling someone, we got to disciple them often and specifically.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys something else. How about we turn that around? How often and specifically are you getting advice from
your disciples?
Come
on, dude.
How often and specifically are you getting advice from the person that God put in your life? I mean, because you can sit down and have a deep time. You can get preached to all day. You know, you can get corrected on your sin. We can show you scriptures. You know, that can go on forever and ever and ever. But until we understand, you know, the disciple understands that you really get it when you're asking them questions.
Come on.
That when you come into these times, or you come into time with another disciple, and you got a list of questions. How do I do this? How can I help this guy? You know, just a whole list of things that you need to get done.
That's right, bro.
But we got to be often and specific when we do that. I want to really help you guys understand here that, guys, we gotta have a reverent fear of God. It's not just a mild fear like Israelites. We have a reverent fear of God. You know, the football coach in the movie, he said, it doesn't matter whether we win or lose, we're still going to give glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even that father that was like, of David, that was laughing the whole time, no matter what he was talking about. You know, even he had some good advice too. But, you know, David had to really humble out and listen to it. David was pretty hard-headed. I don't know if a whole lot of you guys caught that. But over and over, he was so insecure. I can't do this. I don't know if I'll ever be able to make a field goal. I'm just not good. I kick it too wide right, too wide left. I don't know if I can do it. And it really took that one coach, you know, teaching from the Bible. It's not about kicking it right or left. You got to get it right through the pearly goalpost. We got to have that focus. But as you know, those insecurities in our life, we can't let them drag us
down.
Come
on, Joel.
We cannot let them drag us down.
Come on, bro.
When these giants come in your life, like insecurities, are you able to stare eye to eye? Are you able to look your insecurities, look your sin, your selfishness, your laziness, eye to eye, before it even comes and be ready for it? Look over in Proverbs.
Come on, bro. Tell us how. Don't hold back, Joe.
There's a scripture here in Proverbs, chapter 22. I love this scripture right here.
Come on, dude.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says, "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." I'm going to read that again. "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it."
Wow.
When you see danger in your life, are you guys taking refuge?
Come on, bro. That's
are you running? How do you react when you see, say you're at home, guys. Say you're at home and you get tempted with some impurity.
Come on, bro.
Come on, lay it out. Come on.
Are you taking refuge? Are you calling up the other brothers? Are you fleeing from it? Are you running outside, doing whatever it takes to get away from it? Or are you just like, I can handle this. I've handled it before. I've had a victory or two in the past. Yeah, I'll just stay here.
Help us, Joe.
Wow.
Help
us. Are you simple?
Tell us what to do, wow. Joe. Come on.
If you're simple, if you're simple-minded, if you're being easy on yourself, if you stay in that house, what's going to happen? You're going to fall into impurity.
You're going to blow it.
You're going to suffer for it. Yeah. And then what? Then you got to get open with the brothers about it. Right? Then you got to get open with God about it. Before you know it, it's turned into this huge deal that it didn't have to turn into. Guys, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge,
yes.
But the simple keep going and suffer for it.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what the Bible says, guys. Well, we got to understand that to fear God and to love God and to have that understanding, we got to make sure that we're obeying all of His commands.
Yeah.
Not just what we want to, not just what, we read, pick and choose what we want to do. This isn't Burger King, have it your way. You know, when it comes to Christianity.
Come on.
This is the Bible. This is the Word of God.
Yep.
And to fear God and to get right with God, we got to obey all His commands.
Come on, bro.
You know, Deuteronomy is a great book. God is a complete God. When He destroys an army, He totally obliterates them. He doesn't just kill a few people. He makes sure all those kings are dead. He makes sure all the women, the children, everybody's dead. He wipes out the whole town, the whole villages, the whole city.
Yep, that's right. You know, that's right.
For one second, why do we think that in our lives, if there's sin in our lives, we don't have to kill the whole thing?
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
You know? Why do we feel like we can still handle the impurity? You know? When was the last time you guys did something radical about your sin?
Come on.
When was the last time you cut off the internet, cut off the TV?
Come on, Joe.
You were willing to go as far as it took to really, you know, being radical means to do something radical. You know, it means to do something very significant that's gonna change a circumstance in your life.
Yeah.
You know, a brother used to tell me back in Syracuse, if you're struggling with this sin, what do you gotta do? You gotta run outside and just run around the block. No matter.
That'll do it.
Just do whatever it takes, but you get out of that house.
That'll
you know? There's sin in our life, and we got to get it out of there, but we can't just be fickle about it. We can't just decide, oh, it's not that big of a deal,
or
I can handle it myself, and be simple-minded. That's what being simple-minded means.
That's right.
You know? But we gotta be aggressive about our sin, go after it, and be radical about our sin.
Wow.
I want to read this last scripture here to you. I'm not even close to being done yet, but I want to read this scripture to you in 1 Samuel 17 again.
Way to have a day, bro. Come on, Joel, this is great. We need this.
Come on, bro. Lay it out, bro.
You know, we could read David and Goliath, but if you read the first half, yeah, it's a cool story, but it's not what it is until you read the end of it.
Come on, Joel.
What I'm talking about. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start off in verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. And he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog? You come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Excuse me. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel."
Come on!
"All those gathered there will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack David, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Israel with a sling, or with to the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Wow. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from his scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they turned and ran.
Come on!
Tell me that's not a pretty cool ending to David and Goliath.
Yeah, that's right, awesome. There.
So you see David. Talk about facing your fears, facing your giant. I mean, David, when he saw Goliath coming at him, walking towards him, David didn't start stepping back or trying to like get a little strategy going. He ran after the beast. He ran after him. And I was like, when I was thinking about this earlier, I was thinking of like a Matrix scene. Was like, he's running at him, and like as he's running at him, he like takes out the slingshot.
Come on, dog!
And you see Goliath just like walking, thinking he's awesome. Just boom,
bat! Right in the forehead.
Whoa.
Come on, bro.
He just falls right on his face. Then you see David. David looks back at the Israelites, and they're all like, "No way, dude! Cool, come on!" You know, they see him, and David's in there, this little boy, with all these, you know, 40, 30-year-old men behind them. They're all looking ahead, seeing this little boy lead them. And
wow.
David walks up to the Philistines. He's looking at his guys.
Yeah.
Stands on Goliath. You know, his chest probably was like this high off the ground.
Come on, bro. Bring it to life.
Took out that sword. Looked back. Cut off his head. You know, David probably felt pretty awesome right there.
It would have taken 2 hands to lift up that
David with the beast, dude. David
could do it. Go on.
Cuts off the head. He's looking at it. You know, but he doesn't just leave the Philistine there.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty
right.
Cool. When you study out David and Goliath,
come on, bro.
He didn't just leave the guy there to rot. He took the armor. He took all Goliath's armor and dedicated it to God.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty cool? Wow. You know, he says it here in verse 47. All those gathered here will know that it was not by sword or spear that the Lord saved. For the battle is the Lord's.
Come on, Joel.
David knew that it wasn't by his own strength that he was going to take out Goliath. You know, he didn't go up there with a sling expecting, "I got to have perfect aim."
No.
You know, this is just like the fighting the bears and the lions. Let me take my time. I only got one shot. No, he didn't do that. He knew that as soon as that thing came out of his pocket, he knew it was going right this forehead. He just kind of threw it.
Come on.
Let it go. David had some range. Went right in his forehead. And took them out.
Man.
You know, I gotta ask you guys, when you guys see struggles in your life, or even when you see struggles in other people's lives, are you kind of trying to get a plan for it? Or are you running away? Or are you running towards it?
Come on.
David didn't run away and try to hide in some bushes. You know, you see in like movies, they try to be all sneaky about it and like come up behind them and fight them. David ran right at them. Right down the center of the battlefield, took out that slingshot and whipped him in the forehead.
Come on, bro.
You know, I want to ask you guys again, when you see struggles in your life, are you running towards them or are you running away from them? I mean, anybody can run away from a giant.
Come on.
Anybody can have a struggle in their life, run away from it, do something about it. You know, but honestly, if you're running away from it, it's only going to keep it away temporarily.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you,
true.
You see scary movies, the bad guys, they're walking 3 miles an hour. You're running full speed. Somehow they always catch up with you, find you, and take you out. You know?
That's true.
I mean, same thing with struggles in our life. If we're running, we can run full speed. Eventually, those struggles are going to come right back in our life and take us out. You know? Unless we're running after them, we get on the attack. We take them out. And again, the only way we're going to do it is if we have God by our side.
Yeah, yeah.
If we fear God, obey His commands, and understand that He is right there with us.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, guys? You guys with me right here?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I got a couple of you guys sleeping. You guys awake?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Come on now.
I got to help you guys see this.
Yes,
because this is going to help you out for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You got to understand that when you have trials in your life, you cannot run away from them. You need to run after them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to get those out of your life, and you need to make sure you have God by your side, or else they're not going anywhere.
Yep. Amen.
I want to help you guys understand something a little better as well.
All right. Come on, bro. Help us understand.
You know, when all these towers of the Israelites were exposed in the light, you know, I'm sure before the Philistines came, they were probably confident, man, we're going to take out the Philistines. We're good to go. Hmm. This is going to be awesome. David steps up, and all the cowards are exposed. Oh, I don't know if we can do this. You know, that's when the men become the boys.
Yep.
You know, they're getting scared. You know, when all these cowards are exposed, it took someone to really step up and show that they had some courage.
Yep.
You know, guys, courage is needed most when cowards are exposed.
Mm.
Courage is needed most. Say you're out with a group of friends. Or say you're out with a group of disciples. You guys are out sharing your faith or making friends. You know how it goes. Sometimes you're walking and you see a group of kids walk by. And maybe sometimes you can look at another disciple and tell they wanted to say something like, you know, just keep walking. You know, they got a little cowardice. You know, that's going to happen sometimes. You know, like we learned in the movie, everyone's going to have their failures, but we can't be afraid to fail.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we can get a little scared. But it's at that point that you need to step up with your courage. And you see that brother and you're like, man, watch this. And you go up and you start sharing with them. Because why? Because now they're going to get bolder. Now they're going to get more courageous. But unless you didn't do that, they're just going to go on. And what's probably going to happen is they feel like their courage level went down a little bit. You know, they feel a little more insecure about themselves because they didn't have a full reverence of God.
Mm.
You know? That's what we got to make sure that when we see a coward exposed, or we see sin exposed, that we're doing something about it, that we're trying to help them out with it.
Come on.
You know, our world is ruled by insecurities. Lust, selfishness, impurity rules our internet. You know, our TV, our advertisements.
Yep,
what advertisements do you see these days that aren't completely covered with impurity?
Yeah, come on.
A lot, bro.
Every advertisement. 99% of advertisements out there have something to do with pretty girl and skimpy bikini.
That's right.
So basically our world is ruled by sin. Our world is ruled by sin. Everywhere you go, you are gonna see sin.
Come on, bro.
Because we gotta make sure that we're running after our sin. We're doing something about it.
Yeah.
I want you guys to understand something. That if you're in this room today, you have been chosen by God to do something about it.
Come on.
Wow.
You have been chosen by God to smack Satan in the face, say, I am not going to have this in my life, and really do something about it.
Come on, bro.
That's awesome.
Come on.
Anthony always goofs around about, you know, someone sins or something, smacking them in the face. You know, but we don't want to smack the person in the face. But guys, when you see Satan in your life, someone else's life, smack them.
Come on, bro.
Stomp on them. You get them out of your life.
Come on.
He's ruining our world.
Yep. Slap it.
God has hurled them down here to the earth. He owns,
right,
Satan owns our earth. Unless we do something about it, he's not going to go anywhere.
Come on, bro.
Guys, I want you guys to understand that you can face your giants.
Yeah.
Whether it's insecurities, whether it's your pride, no matter what's in your life, you can face your giants.
Amen. Come on, Joel.
That's why we have
each other. Come on, bro.
That's why we have the Word of God. So, amen,
yeah.
Guys.
Come on.